Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you, our listeners, hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we'd like to hear from you on today's Basic Gospel program. If you have Bible questions, or if there's some issue in life you're struggling with and you need answers for it, we'd love to take you into the Word of God for the answer and or the solution in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give us a call right now at 844-322-2742, and if you're hearing the program live, you can call directly right now, 844-322-2742, and if you're hearing the program overnight, you can leave a voicemail for us at that very same number. No matter when you're hearing the program, we invite you to call now because it is Basic Gospel, everybody. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thank you, Bob. Just a note about a new resource that we have up on our YouTube channel, and it's actually on our homepage at basicgospel.net. You know, many people have the question, can I outsend the grace of God? Can I put myself beyond the reach of God's grace? We had that question on our broadcast the other day, and we took that answer and made it into a YouTube resource, and we want to make you aware of that. So if you've ever had that question as far as your life is concerned, you feel like you have put yourself outside of the reach of God with all the sins that you've committed in your life, this is a video for you. It's also a video that will help equip you to answer that question when others ask it of you. So it's a great ministry tool for you personally and as you reach out to others to share the love of Christ. So that is available on our YouTube channel and on our homepage at basicgospel.net. Once you listen to it or watch it, be sure to like it and then share it. Share it with as many people as possible, because I think this is a problem that is very common out there in the world today. Many, many people are thinking they've just done so many bad things that it's just impossible for them to get God to forgive them.
Yeah.
So this is a great resource, and we want you to take advantage of it, to listen to it, to share it with as many people as you possibly can. Well, Bob, all month we're talking about the resurrection and how God takes that event that happened 2,000 years ago and makes it relevant to us today. And I think the first thing that we talked about was the fact that there's hope. We're born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what Peter tells us in his first letter. So we have this living hope. And I want to touch back on that in this passage today. It's from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And in verse 51, we read this, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?" So this hope, we have this living hope, Jesus Christ, inside of us for our here and now. But we also have this hope of resurrection for the future. There's going to be a day when we're going to get resurrected bodies, just as Christ was raised physically. And that's important for us to know and to really latch on to. There are many people that just put Christ into the category of spiritual. He wasn't really a physical being. He was simply a spiritual being. And it just looked like it was a body that died on a cross. And it just looked like a body that rose from the dead. That was a spiritual apparition. But that's not the case. It was a physical body, and Jesus made sure that his disciples knew that that resurrected body was physical in nature. They touched it. They saw him eat and all of those things. So we too are going to get a new resurrected physical body.
Yeah.
And it's this old body is mortal. It's going to put on immortality. This body is perishable, which means it's subject to sin and death and the diseases of this world. We see the fact that it perishes. But there's going to be a time when we put on the imperishable. We will have bodies, resurrected bodies, exactly like Jesus. Yeah. So that is our hope for the future. Now, that isn't something that we, just simply wish for, and we're, crossing our fingers and hoping that it will happen. No, it's assured. It is going to happen. Why? Because God has declared it so. God has said that at the last trumpet, this is what's going to take place. So God is faithful to deliver on his promises. He has given his Spirit as a deposit guaranteeing this future event. So we live every day in light of that hope that one day we're going to get resurrected bodies. And that is a practical way that God has taken that historical event and made it relevant in our lives today. Mm-hmm. So our future is guaranteed. And knowing that our future is guaranteed, we can kind of let loose on our present and just enjoy it for what it is. Enjoy the love of Christ. Enjoy the presence of Christ in us. Enjoy offering ourselves to him as living sacrifices and allowing him to do in and through us what he so desires. And we can just be free to enjoy that. So knowing that we have a guaranteed future really frees us up to enjoy our here and now.
And that is good news, Bob. Thank you for that. And friends, thank you for being here to enjoy this particular edition of Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you're with us. Again, 844-322-2742, that's the number to dial if you'd like to call directly into the studio and speak directly with us right now, 844-322-2742. And you know, friends, without your support, Basic Gospel could not be here on the air and online with this good news about Jesus and his love and grace toward you. It's a message that needs to be heard everywhere in the world, and with your help, Bob, many of you, as a matter of fact, that's happening. So, Bob, you staked out a goal for us this month, of the month of April. How are we doing so far for support?
Well, we're moving along, but we have a ways to go. I said last week that we needed $50,000 between that point and the end of April to really catch up on some bills, on airtime, and that sort of thing. We've had quite a number of people respond to the need, but we still have a ways to go, a little less than 40,000. And if we'll all do a little bit, if it's 50, if it's 100, if it's 5, whatever you are joyful about giving, we encourage you to give, to step up to the plate and help us continue proclaiming this good news of Jesus Christ through the Basic Gospel airwaves. Mm-hmm. So we're asking for your help. We were in this exact same position last year because of COVID. I think we're in this same position this year because of much the same thing. So we just need a lot of people to step up and to kind of lift us up financially so we can continue to broadcast this good news. And for goodness sakes, this world needs some good news. Man, every day you just hear negative stuff, day in, day out, day in, day out. And here the gospel offers a solution, offers something that actually touches a human heart in such a powerful way, it changes it. Yes. It makes it new and vibrant and lifts it up to walk in a new way of life. So let's get this message of Jesus Christ out. We need your help. It's critical we hear from you as quickly as possible. All the information on how to give is at basicgospel.net.
Just click that big prominent donate link right there on the homepage, basicgospel.net. And friends, when you do, be sure to request your copy of Proof the Resurrection. It's our gift back to you for standing with us to support Basic Gospel and the love and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, donate at basicgospel.net. Bob?
Well, thanks, Bob. We do have some open lines at 844-322-2742. If you would like to pose a question on today's broadcast, dial that number right now, 844-322-2742. 2742. In the meantime, let's go to Fayetteville, North Carolina, and talk to our friend Andrew. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, Andrew.
How you doing? How are my friends doing today?
We're doing fantastic. How about you?
Praise the Lord. Me too.
Good deal.
I just have a question about how does one get the joy of God in their life?
Well, the joy of the Lord is a fruit of the Spirit. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit. So we have to recognize when we receive Christ, when we're born again, the Spirit comes to live inside of us. So the joy is there. Sometimes we lose sight of that joy when we put our eyes on the circumstances of life. When we put our eyes on our failures, our sins, our mistakes, and we start to experience fear and guilt and all of those negative emotions. But when we shift our eyes back to Jesus and the fact that he saved us, the fact that he's forgiven our sins, the fact that he has given us an eternal inheritance, the fact that he has given us new birth, and a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we start to see that joy that is there, and we can actually rejoice. So the book of Philippians, Paul writes a whole letter about rejoicing in the Lord. And he says things like rejoice, and again I say rejoice. It's just a letter about the joy that we can experience knowing that we're in Christ Jesus, knowing that we are complete and full in him. And so when we rest in those truths, when we really give thanks, for those realities brought to us by the grace of God and experienced in Christ himself, then we can see that joy that's already there, and we can actually experience it.
Yeah.
So it's all about getting our eyes back on Christ and all that he's accomplished for us.
Oh, thank you so much. Appreciate your answer. Okay, and y'all have a God blessed day.
You too, Andrew. Yeah. Thanks for your call. We certainly appreciate it.
Great to hear from you, Andrew.
You know, Bob, in that book of Philippians, it talks about not being anxious for anything.
Right.
And certainly if you're anxious, you're not rejoicing. You're not experiencing the joy of the Lord. And what Paul says is, you know, turn your eyes to Christ, pray, offer thanksgiving and supplication. And then it says the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds.
Right.
And then he goes on and says, you know, whatever is good and beautiful and all of this, think upon these things. Like I said, in this world today, it's so easy to think about negative things, to allow our minds to latch on to the horrific things that are going on out there in the world. And when we do, we get all anxious about our lives and about, you know, what we're going to experience out there in the world. And I think we just have to learn how to shift our thinking, shift our eyes away from the things of this world to the things of Christ Jesus. And I guarantee you, when you do, when you recognize that the Christian life isn't on your shoulders to live, it's not about you trying to earn or gain God's love and acceptance. It's just resting in the grace of God, resting in the finished work of Jesus Christ, resting in him. That's when that joy really takes center stage in your life.
Well, that Philippians 4 passage is one that I call on very, very often, Bob, and I hope many of our listeners will do that as well, because it has a wonderful promise attached.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's keep going and go up to Kansas and talk to Tracy. Hi, Tracy.
Tracy.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Doing well, thanks. What's on your mind today?
I love what you just shared, because mine comes from Philippians also, but chapter 2, it really describes, Paul really says we should have the same attitude as Jesus, really, and the importance that he did was like, you know, Philippians 2, 6 through 8 really describes him, of how he was. And then, of course, 9, 10, 11, I consider probably the most important things we may overlook or miss. That's basically God elevated his name above any other name. And just at the mention of his name, we should be bowing down. We should be showing praise to him, that or, you know, everything of Jesus. Basically, what you just said earlier, Jesus really is our everything. I mean, just by doing this, you show glory to God the Father. It's what it says, you know, at the end. It says, you know, every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory, the God of the Father. So basically, it's not really working to do anything. It's showing that's already done by showing joy in him or of him, of what he really did. And so I don't know if I can really ask a question, because you really answered the question itself, what you just said earlier. So really my question would be, do we really need to preach on this more, that more people really need to exalt his name rather than just be as ordinary? Because his name's above every name. It's not just an ordinary name. His name is superior to everybody.
Right.
And so I guess that would be my question to you. Is that something that we take too lightly, as we don't exalt him enough?
Well, I think so. I think we're so self-centered that we try to make everything about us in some way, shape, or form. And at some point we need to step back and say, well, wait a minute, I'm just a human being. Now, I know God loves me, and I know God cares for me, and I know God sent Jesus on my behalf, but my life is in him, and he is my life. A lot of times we just say, yeah, Jesus is a part of my life. Well, if that's the case, then we're not exalting him in the way that God did. If he's just a part of our life, then we've got other things that rival him. We have other things that, are on an equal level. But that's not the way it is. God, Jesus isn't just a part of our life. Jesus is our life. He is our life. And so when we understand that, then we can see, I think we can see him for who he really is. And that changes everything for us. He's the one that's sufficient. He's the one that's adequate. He's the one that's bigger than our problems. He's the one that is more powerful than the forces that we encounter in this world. He is the one that overcame sin and death. He is the one that did all of those things, and he has extended those to us by giving himself to us and becoming our very life. So it's not us who live, it's Christ who lives in us. And I think when we see him as he is, highly exalted, as God exalted him, then that really calms our hearts and comforts us and gives us some confidence to live as children of God in this world that we live in today.
Yeah, I'm thinking if this helps anybody, I kind of see now that if you struggle with temptation and stuff, just go to this passage here, exalt him, let him, you know, remind you, because we all need reminders sometimes that, hey, Jesus is with us, or Jesus is in us, Jesus is for us. And I think we, like you said, we just throw that out of the picture and just try to do it our own, and we forget, hey, we have a higher power here with us, living in us, that can do stuff for us. And so that makes a lot of sense. Thanks. I mean, I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks for your call, Tracy.
Yeah.
Well, let's go to Garland, Texas, and talk with Terry, listening to us on the Word. Hi, Terry.
Hi.
How are you?
Okay.
What's on your mind today?
Question. In 1 Peter, what are they talking about when they're talking about the kingdom?
Well, that's a great question. You know, God, Jesus, when he was here on earth, he talked about the kingdom. The kingdom is among you. And really, it's about a king, right? And the king is Jesus. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And it's about him ruling and reigning inside of us. So that's the kingdom. Wherever Jesus is, there's the kingdom of God. Because he's been declared to be the king. So he's living in you, so you're a part of the kingdom. I love what Paul said in Colossians 1:13 and 14. He says this, he delivered us from the domain of darkness. So that was the realm that you lived in, Terry, before you knew Christ, before you were born again. You lived in the realm of darkness. Now, that realm of darkness was controlled by the forces of darkness, Satan, the ways of this world, the desires of the flesh. And so you were under the control of those things. As Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, you followed the ways of this world, you followed the prince of the power of the air, you lived to gratify the desires of the flesh. That was the realm that you lived in. But God delivered you from that domain of darkness and transferred you to the kingdom of his beloved Son. So he puts you into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. That's the realm that you live in today. Jesus Christ is the King. He is Lord. He is sovereign in your life. He rules and reigns through you. Now, it's a reign of grace, isn't it? It's not a reign of law. It's not a reign of just despotic authority or anything like that. It's a reign of grace. That's the kingdom of the Son. It's all about the grace of God that he has given to you through his death, burial, and resurrection. And that's where you are. You're in that kingdom. And in that kingdom, as Paul said, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, slave or free, male or female. We are all one in Christ. So Peter says that we are all priest in this kingdom, and we can declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness and placed us into his marvelous light. So when we talk about the kingdom, we're talking about a king. His name is Jesus. We're talking about a king ruling and reigning, and we're talking about a king ruling and reigning through grace and mercy. And because we're in Christ, we're a part of that kingdom. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, thanks for your call. Great question today, my friend.
Yes, indeed. Thanks, Terry. Well, Bob, we had this call that came in off hours. Let's listen.
Yes, my question is based on John 1:12. And my question is, what is the difference between where it says that to as many as received him and those that believed on his name? And I'd like to know, can a person be saved without saying a prayer? Thank you for answering.
Well, that's a great question, and we certainly see people being saved without praying. We see Paul encountering Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. We don't see a prayer mentioned in that, just that he encountered Jesus and he recognized Jesus for who he was, that he indeed was God's plan of salvation, God's way of eternal life. And so he received Jesus. He was one of those of the nation of Israel that had rejected Jesus as Messiah. He was out to persecute those who had claimed him as their Messiah. And then he met Jesus and everything changed. So he received him. And in receiving him, God gave him the right to become a child of God. And that's exactly what happened with Paul. We see Peter in the household of Cornelius, and he is finishing up his message. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God comes down and enters into Cornelius and his household. Salvation occurred. No praying there. It was simply hearts believing the good news of Jesus Christ and receiving him and his gift of eternal life.
Absolutely. Great question, and we appreciate hearing from our listeners. And friends, thank you for being with us for this edition of Basic Gospel. Please remember that we have a great resource we'd like to send to you as our way of saying thank you for your gift to help keep the message of love and grace in the Lord Jesus Christ going forward every weekday here on this broadcast and, between the lines as well. It's called Proof the Resurrection, and we'll send you a copy as you make your gift at basicgospel.net. Just click donate at basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for our Friday study, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, on Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.